The agency is looking at a safe alternative to store used nuclear fuel, and Bradley Hammond, the senior manager strategic coordinator for the NWMO, says the media tour was a chance to help promote the work they're doing in Ontario communities.
A couple of things that we want the municipalities or Indigenous communities to know that we're working with is, one, that we're so thankful and appreciative for the leadership that they have shown on behalf of all Canadians in implementing Canada's plan for the safe long-term management of used nuclear fuel. I think it's truly awesome that at one point there were 22 municipalities or communities that stepped forward, put up their hands, and showed this leadership and saying, yes, we want to learn more, and we want to know more about the process and how we can protect people and the environment over the long term necessary as when we're managing used nuclear fuel. So, of course, that's first and foremost just a deep appreciation for that leadership and that. And the learning that has been put into this date. And as far as what I think information that's important today or relevant to people, it's that the site selection process is ongoing. We started with these 22 areas, these municipalities and Indigenous communities that showed that leadership and stepped forward on behalf of all of us to learn about these practices. And over that time, the NWMO, working with the community leaders and people in these places, we've progressively narrowed our focus and to the point where we're at the five areas where we are currently active today. So, of course, here on Kinloss, South Bruce, located in southern Ontario, Manitouwadge and Hornpain, located in northern Ontario, and northwestern Ontario, of course, the area around Ignace.
Hammond talks about what they're looking for in a host site.
There's a lot of things that go into the site selection process, but there's three sort of broad categories that we're looking for. Our main goal and our priority is to protect people and the environment, so safety is paramount in all we do. So we want to make sure as we're exploring a potential repository site or working towards identifying that single preferred site for a deep geological repository in 2023, we want to make sure safety is at the forefront of what we're doing. Part of it is relates then also to partnership. We know we can't do this alone, and as an organization, we've seen time again how we benefit from the leadership and vision of others. And so we know part of what we need to do is arrive at lasting and sound partnerships. So we want to keep exploring partnership in the areas that we're active and figuring out ways that we can work together, explore community well-being, ensure that the benefits of this type of $23 billion infrastructure project are available to those involved in the process. And then last but not least, the third area with the site selection criteria is around transportation. This, of course, ties back to safety, but currently Canada's used nuclear fuel is stored safely and securely at all of the existing reactor sites. And Canada's plan calls for the used nuclear fuel to be centralized and isolated over an extremely long time. And so ensuring that transportation is taken into the ultimate site selection process and criteria is also important.
There's a number of concerns about transporting nuclear waste, but Bradley Hammond says the practice has been done for decades.
You know, it's wonderful when people ask us questions about Canada's plan, because that helps us share information and build up knowledge. But one thing I will say is we as an organization have not been transporting used nuclear fuel. We will only take custody of the used nuclear fuel once we have an operating reactor, once we have an operating repository site, forgive me. But the nuclear sector as a whole has been transporting used nuclear material, used nuclear fuel around the world with an incredibly strong safety record. There's about 40 or 50 years of a safe transportation record. And here in Ontario, Ontario Power Generation and some of their predecessor organizations have been transporting for all that time. And there has never been a release of radionuclides from a transportation incident or accident of any kind. So we know this is something that we can do safely. We know this is something that we can do securely. And we know this is something that we have the technology to get right and to do it right now. One of the great things about the project, though, is we're looking to identify a single preferred location by 2023 and not get to the operations of a site till about 2043. So we have right now a comprehensive framework in place that we're building out with municipalities, Indigenous communities, maybe people along some potential transportation routes to look at, making sure that we understand communities' concerns, making sure we understand why people may have some preferences, and above all, making sure that we are giving that information to the people who need it most, so they can not only rest easy at night, but you have the understanding that it's something that's already taking place around them today, and it's taking place with a sterling safety record.
As mentioned previously, the Igneous area is in the running to host the underground facility. Hammond updates us on work being done in the local community.
We're really pleased in the Igneous area that we've been able to move forward with some initial borehole drilling. We've now in that area successfully drilled two boreholes. Boreholes are really important to give us some of that additional geotechnical information about what the rock's like at potential repository depth. And so it was just within the last few weeks, we finished our second borehole in the Igneous area, and that our third borehole in that area is underway. It's either now or in the very near term. So, each borehole gives us another piece in the puzzle, if you will, or gives us another sort of slice of information. And it's when this information is put together in aggregate, along with all the other geotechnical information, social information that we get through the ongoing site selection process, that when we put that together, we end up with the information we need to help with making the ultimate site selection decisions down the road.
Public consultation and engagement is critical in the NWMO plan for nuclear fuel.
Sean Ross, Manager of Indigenous Engagement at the Nuclear Waste Management Organization. We will be introducing our reconciliation policy. This will complement our Indigenous knowledge policy and our Aboriginal policy that already exists. The purpose of the reconciliation policy is really to help guide staff and provide them with tools for measuring our commitments to Indigenous peoples in the years moving forward and in the implementation of adaptive phased management of used nuclear fuel.
Ross talks about the importance of maintaining dialogue with local First Nations and having a concrete policy in place.
The NWMO has been working with Indigenous peoples since 2002, understanding the importance of partnership not only with municipalities but with First Nations and Métis communities in our siting regions. And working with Indigenous peoples is important moving forward because they will be partners in this project wherever we land. So we have been having an ongoing dialogue and developing policies and providing our staff with the appropriate education and tools to put those policies into place is a key measure for us.
The NWMO hopes to select a host site in 2023, but stresses a lot of work remains until they reach that target date, stressing consultations and public dialogue will continue. For Northwest Monitor, I'm Mike Ebling.